You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Half hour.
Hello and welcome to Half Hour, an entertainment podcast through Two Worlds Entertainment. I'm Richie.
And I'm Jeff.
Here to bring you all the casual conversations on the shows, concerts, films, and events that we see and observe throughout our career. Our conversation today will feature spoilers, so please make sure you've listened to or seen the content we are discussing today, if you'd like, and if not, that's okay, but just letting you know, there's going to be some spoilers as we move forward here on what we're talking about.
Yes.
Moving forward, Sunday, March 19th, as you're listening to this, it is Monday, March 20th. So we have lots of updates for you as we're midway through March on some concerts that we've seen and some albums that have been released and some shows that we've seen as well. Yeah. So we're going to dive right in because we actually have a lot to talk about today. And we're starting with a new album that just came out a couple days ago from Ali and AJ.
Mm-hmm.
This was really exciting. We saw Ali and AJ live maybe about a year ago or so. Really enjoyed that. And now here they are with another album. They just finished touring, I know, with Ben Platt. They were doing that whole tour with him. And now they have this new album. What is it about? What are the thoughts? Tell us everything, Jeff.
So Ali and AJ are back with their fifth studio album with Love From. And I actually really loved this album as well. I thought that this was a perfect segue from their last album, A Touch of the Beat. And I just really loved how they're just kind of growing into this duo that really just shines for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is it fully pop music? I would say it's a little, it still has the underbelly of pop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it really has this like Americana feel. It has this folk feel.
Mm-hmm.
It has this singer-songwriter feel. And it was just nice. You know, what was your experience listening?
I was listening to it on doing a lot of driving the last couple of days back and forth from different events and work events and things. And I found that it was really refreshing to listen to in the car. I always like compare things like, can I listen to this in the car? I don't know why, but I feel like there was something really, really nice about it that just felt, oh, like this is cool. It kind of calms you a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought, I love the style of the album. I love the musicality of it. The chord progressions on some of these songs are really well written. I think it's well written in that way. Yeah. And I also think that they have a nice sound to their voice and
mm-hmm.
they're just enjoying what they're doing. And some beautiful lyrics in there too. Do you have any favorite songs? Because I actually wrote down three songs that I really liked on this.
I did. I actually wrote down five songs.
Oh, five. Well, maybe wonder if any of these line up. Should we start? I mean, the first one I really liked is the opening one. Open to something and that something is you.
Okay. I didn't put that one. But
I
think it's a good opener to the album.
Totally. Yeah. I also put Love You This Way.
Okay.
Love that. I just love the feel of that
did
song.
Too.
Okay, cool. And then I put Baby Lay Your Head Down. I really like that song.
You know, I'm going to bring up a funny little story here about Baby Lay Your Head Down.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because when this single came out, I said, is this a bop or a flop? And you said that this leaned flop.
Okay, but but it's being pulled out of context, see?
I know.
It's part of an album now, and I'm listening to this forward from to back, and it's making more sense now. And anytime I say something's flop, I usually mean that it has to grow on me. It doesn't mean I hate the song forever.
No, I'm saying you said it was like bop, flop, leaning, flop.
Well, I like it now.
And another fun fact there, I remember, because, you know, I have to remember everything. But one of the things was I said, this is something that we're going to want to play when we're driving around San Francisco this summer. And does that stand?
Yes. It totally stands. California vibes on this.
So sure. California. And yeah. It really has that America feel. Another song that I wrote down, okay, which was my favorite, is Sunchoke.
Oh, yeah, I liked that.
That was my favorite on the album. I think it's so good. And they have this lyric in the song, and it says, and it's just really something that kind of gets me, but it says, I'm so mad at myself, I could choke the sun.
Yeah, that's it. I heard that.
Do you ever feel that sometimes you want to, you never think you would choke the sun, but like, yeah, you're just looking at it, yeah. You're so mad, and you're like, oh, I could choke the sun right now.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. So yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I did want to read a quote because they just did an interview with Nylon Magazine, and Ali had said, a touch of the beat, that record that opened up a whole new portal for Ali and I to feel comfortable as musicians and songwriters. So I found that was really interesting because that last album still had like their pop influences, and now they're like, oh, we actually really feel like good songwriters, and they... And their fans embraced that. Mm-hmm. That was something I really liked to hear.
Totally. I think they have a really nice way of writing. They're the full package for me. They have nice vocals. They have good songwriting. The production value on the record is nice. It has really good production value on it. Mm-hmm. And it's not overly produced either. And I just really enjoyed it. I would definitely keep listening to it.
Yeah. And one thing that I was going to say, too, is like we did see their last tour. Do you think that this album is a nice segue from that last album into this?
From their tour into this, you mean? From their last album that they toured into.
Yeah, Touch of a Beat.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I think this is the direction they're going in, and it makes sense, and it works. And
which they're also going to be touring this album. We're not free to see it this time around. Got it. They did that tour. They opened for Ben Platt, and now they're doing another tour.
They're busy, and they're right? working, they're and good busy. For them. And I love it. I love it. Really, really good stuff. I just really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yay. And speaking of live concerts and performances, we had a couple live things that we recently saw in the pop music world.
We went to a Betty Who's big tour, and let's just say something. Betty Who puts on a show.
Yeah. Right? She's really amazing. It's the second time we've seen her. She embraces the audience. Mm-hmm. She lives with and for the audience. She came into the audience right near us and was like, I'm going to play a couple acoustic guitar songs right here for you. She's not afraid of that. Many pop stars are afraid of that.
That was something I wanted to ask you about Betty, because sometimes we see these pop stars and they just come on, they perform their songs, and that's it. And I really found like Betty, she's talking. She even had a musical theater reference in there that had you.
She was like, I'm in New York, and she started singing NYC from Annie. And I was like, there was like, you know, 7.5 people that were like, Annie. And like, I was one of them. And I was like, oh my God, Annie. Yes. She was like, NYC. And she embraces New York. Her music just flows really well. She's relatable. I really like that venue, the Hammerstein Ballroom. Yeah. There's in New York, for those of you maybe who aren't familiar with New York, there are any kind of venues. There's small little underground basements, and then there's MetLife and Madison Square Garden, and there's everything in between. Even Radio City has its Perks concert, Beacon Theater concert versus no concert. Where are you sitting and watching or something where you need to sit versus stand? I like how high the stage is in Hammerstein Ballroom. I like how close you can get because it's general admission on the floor, yet there's still seats upstairs. I just like the location of it. I like a lot of things about Hammerstein Ballroom. Yeah. I think that's a great venue.
I actually think it's one of the better ones as well. I mean, I like Terminal 5 and I like Hammerstein Ballroom, and you know, sometimes we do go to concerts and it's so hard to see, but yeah. At least Betty's tall.
Yeah, so. And we really just, I just really enjoy
it. And she sounds great.
Yeah.
And the little choreo that she does, it's just, she's a fun time. So I definitely think if the big tour has not come to you yet and it's coming to you, I highly suggest you going and checking Betty out, because that was so much fun.
And the night before that, we went down to the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, which, let's talk about venue first before we tell them what we saw. Okay. That's a stunning venue.
Yeah.
The New Jersey Performing Arts Center is huge. I've never been.
And I never even really heard of it.
No, and it's like, and big acts there. Audra's going there soon. There's some big names going there. What an amazing venue. We saw the 25th anniversary tour of Riverdance. Tis the season for Riverdance.
Yes, I should have been wearing my green.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I've seen bits and pieces of clips here and there, but I've never seen it, whether the full video of it or live. Mm-hmm. 25 years later, here we are. You've seen the original in video, right?
Well, I've seen the video. My parents had it on VHS as I was growing up. So I really, while watching it, I didn't know if they were actually going to be doing the actual Riverdance show from back then, which they were.
Yeah.
And obviously it's a different cast of characters there performing these roles, but it was definitely a nice thing to see live. I mean, I was a child when that originally came out.
Yeah. So. What did you think of this tour?
It was a lot of fun. I think it's aged well.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's still great. I would love to see a kind of more like reimagined version of Riverdance maybe now.
Well, they added projections. They tried to add some of that in. It sounds like 45 instruments are playing at times and there's three people up there. So they must have tracks being put in.
Yeah.
The dancing is incredible. I don't know how they do that. Like, it's just amazing that they do that. It's very entertaining.
And they're telling a story.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, listen, it's definitely like a bucket list thing, like see Riverdance, because why not, you know?
Yeah.
The audience seems to enjoy it. They're trying to put a little bit of a story to it. Could it have
it's like dancing.
Yeah, I mean.
It's like dancing.
Could it have a complete overhaul?
That's what I'm saying.
Sure, I feel like it could have a complete overhaul of like costumes and do the same style of dance, but maybe tell a different story, tell it differently, add some levels of stage,
right.
Maybe add, I don't know, just change it up a bit.
I'm saying, I know it's a 25th anniversary of it, but what is a more reimagined 25th anniversary of this? Like, we just saw dancing, Bob Fosse's dancing.
And was reimagined.
Was reimagined from what it was.
Right.
So, you know, does a Riverdance have something similar to that? You know, so.
Yeah.
But it was great. It was great to see, and it was great to see during the Irish Holy season.
Yes, and it was
St. Patrick's Day.
It clearly sells because the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, which is a huge space, was full.
That was something we were actually supposed to see right as New York City was shutting down.
Yeah, at Radio City it was supposed to be. Yeah,
tickets, and they almost played their whole run at Radio City, and I think we actually had tickets to the last performance. So this was our time to finally.
Yeah, it's a reschedule. Or these times when it came back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So great.
Great things.
Seeing lots of good things.
Seeing lots of good things and sometimes seeing bad things.
Oh, well.
No pun intended.
Yeah, we are getting ready to talk about the Broadway show that we've seen recently, Andrew Lloyd Webber's Bad Cinderella.
Which we know that everyone has been waiting for.
Yes, everyone's like, we can't wait to hear what they thought of that. We saw this. This is playing at the Imperial Theater in New York. This is music by Andrew Lloyd Webber, book by Emerald Fennell, and lyrics by David Zippel. Choreography by Joanne M. Hunter, directed by Lawrence Connor. It's Andrew Lloyd Webber's take on Cinderella. It was called Cinderella in London. It closed there. It didn't do very well there. It's now here in New York with the new title, Bad Cinderella. Let's see here. I want to start off by saying that I always admire the work that people put into a show. Mm-hmm. There are many, many people employed right now on that show and working. And I will never sit here and shun or look down upon the work that people are doing in a post-pandemic world live on stage 8 times a week. There are some phenomenal dancers in that show. There are some amazing orchestra players there. Some of the design was beautiful. So I think we need to highlight where highlight is due.
Yes.
With that said...
Are you going to go first?
I don't know. Should I or you? Let's go. Why don't you go first? I just wanted to do that disclaimer because I feel like that's really important in this industry. But now let's talk about the show.
Thank you for doing the disclaimer.
It's important. Okay, go.
No, it is important. If I had to do the disclaimer, I was going to say that Bad Cinderella had limited moments of greatness, but ultimately it does not know what it wants to be. And like, I think like I'm going to bluntly say this, but... And this is like a little bit of a story as well while we were at this show. But during intermission, we made friends with our neighbors in the aisle here. And we were just having a little powwow laugh session here because they're theater goers, we're theater goers, and we were having a good time. Anyway, I turned to her and I said, "Do you watch RuPaul?" And she said, "Do I watch RuPaul?" And I said, "Okay, good." Because I said to her, I was like, "Isn't this... like a really bad version of a RuPaul's Drag Race musical?" And I'm like, and she's like, "Oh my God, yes." And I'm like, and I'm saying that kindly because I actually think some of the musicals on RuPaul are very funny and great. We actually just saw one this past weekend when they did the Footloose musical. And
Wig-loose.
I was, what?
Wig-loose.
Wig-loose, based on Footloose. But I said this because I was like, at least in RuPaul, with this musical style thing, it knows what it is. This show doesn't know what it is. Is it camp? Is it serious? Is it a rock musical? Is it a classical musical? Is it a great take on Cinderella? And you know what? I'm really coming to the conclusion on this. Cinderella needs to be done. Cinderella needs to be done. It's so tired.
Well, we all know the Brandy Whitney Houston, Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella is the best Cinderella ever.
Okay, but that's still like the basic Cinderella story. I'm so tired of seeing a Cinderella story.
But yes, it is this thing that just people, and it's maybe Americans or maybe British people too, are just obsessed with that story. I don't know what the obsession is. Disney? I mean, name every major production. There's so many different
versions. But hasn't it already been mastered by some? I don't know why we're still trying to reinvent the wheel with Cinderella.
Well, here's my thoughts on this. Okay. Andrew Lloyd Webber, why? Like, why are you doing this right now? You have created such mega shows. Yes, he has had flops before. And people sometimes forget that.
Yeah.
He had a show, I think it was Women in White. He's had some shows that just didn't do well.
Yeah.
He has a Phantom sequel out there that doesn't seem to do well. So what are you doing with your time and money? With all the money and all of these new scripts and young writers and new stories that we could be bringing, what are you doing spending so much money on this?
Right.
It is very lost of a production. It has no idea what it wants to be. It's almost so strayed from the plot of Cinderella that it's not Cinderella.
Right.
That's what blows my mind. She knows the prince already. She's friends with him already. But then at the end, they don't have to be prince and princess because the other prince comes back. That's not the story of Cinderella. So maybe this should have been called like a different name. I don't know why this is called that. There's lags at times. I don't think all of the performances are that great. Some things are stronger than others. If I actually don't mind. Okay, so let me talk about some things. I thought the costumes were actually pretty good. I thought there were some pretty beautiful costumes. Most of them are great.
And then they gave her, I don't know.
I know. She's in like, I don't know what she's wearing. They're trying to show that she's this rebellious person in the town, which is like also not Cinderella. So like, I don't understand.
It didn't
like,
match the theme of the overall piece. I don't know.
It doesn't know what it wants to be. I will say at times there are a couple big orchestral swell moments. I'm like, oh, there's the Angela Weber up. And then we go 20 minutes and I'm like, what's going on? And then, oh, there's the Angela Weber that we know and love. Oh, it's gone again. It's just this hit or miss. Having all the guys shirtless in a dance number with the queen. I don't know what the point of that is. It's very lost on me. I don't know.
And I think that's the point that we're kind of talking here. Like, the talent on the stage is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I would applaud every single one of them because a lot of them are doing so many great things. But the material that they are given... is just, what is this? Yeah. I don't even know what to say because I'm looking at this and I'm saying, how are some of the, and I'm not talking about the people on the stage, but everyone on the creative team of this, how are they okay with putting something like this on the stage? Like, do they sit there and actually say, wow, this is really good. This is my best work.
I don't know, but it didn't do well in London. I know it was surrounded by a pandemic and it tried to reopen and then it didn't do well. And I don't know why. Sometimes I will say things do bad in London and well here, and sometimes things do bad here and well in London. So that's not a good formula to be basing off.
No, not at all. But with getting the bad reviews that it did and literally changing the name of the production to Bad Cinderella.
It's almost like they're playing into it.
They're trying to play into this, but the camp in this show is not executed.
No. It could have been.
It's trying to be a camp show. It's not. And you know where the real camp was really ruined from me? When I needed to be invested in the first number. When a theater doesn't know how to get their ushers to not see people during the first number.
Yeah. We're watching the first number and these people are standing up and the usher's trying to get them to sit. And I'm like, you got to wait till the number's over.
And the usher doesn't know what he's doing. I know. We were just at Shocked recently and I could not go back to my seat after intermission because the number started and they said, oh, no, no.
Wait till the applause. Wait,
because people are going to miss what's happening in the story. I'm sorry. If you're late to a 8 o'clock show and it's 8:10 when it's starting, you're going to wait in the back of the theater.
Yeah, right. For at least the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I will also say this. Carolee Carmello is the name in this show. Mm-hmm. Carolee Carmello is holding the show together. I'm sorry. That woman is a two or three-time Tony nominee. She always knows what she's doing on stage. It's a little over the top at times. I understand that the role calls for that. I always wanted to see her on stage. I found that she was the glue for me for this piece. She was what was like brought in to kind of glue some of these people together. Because without her, I don't know what this would have been. I think this would have been even worse. And I don't even know how to, you know, say that. I just thought she was really strong. The woman really knows what she's doing. And I think that that's a good thing for this production.
Yes. And now we've seen Lee Carmelo in two shows this season. This season, 1776 yeah. and Bad Cinderella. And I'm so sorry for her.
But I know. I don't know what's going on. I mean, the woman, she needs to work. And this is the work that she's getting. So good for you. I loved her gowns. I loved what she looked like. I just think this is, I just don't know what else to say about it. I mean, it's just really unfortunate. I don't understand what's going on. You're in one of the largest theaters in America doing one of this huge mega show. And it's like, do people think they're going to see Cinderella? Do you bring your kids? Do you not?
Is this enjoyable? I don't even know if you bring your kids to this because actually some of the things that was happening.
There was some inappropriate things at times.
Like the sexual innuendo around things. And it was just weird at times. And it almost seemed perverted at times yeah. in weird ways. Yeah, no.
I'm not
do
sure.
Do you want to do, I mean, is standout performance Carolee for you?
Standout performance is Carolee for me, I would say. Lynette Janeiro is playing Cinderella. She's got to carry a lot of the show. I didn't mind her, but it wasn't anything that I would say come close to Carolee, what she's doing in it.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. She was fine.
I also thought.
But I think.
Yes.
Think of mine.
Okay, give yours because I have another.
My standout performance goes to Mr. Raymond Baynard because
okay,
I'm sorry, he is so dreamy.
He
and I could not take my eyes yeah, off of him in MJ, and yeah. I could not take my eyes off of him in Bad Cinderella.
Yeah.
And he is a dancer, and he's got the body, and he yeah. looks great. He's great. You know, I'm gonna say he's my standout performance because again, I was so drawn to him.
Yeah.
And as an ensemble member, you can really like stand out in that way.
Yeah. I was also going to do a shout out to the Queen, Grace McLean.
I actually thought she was
really great.
Carolee.
Well, her and Carolee worked well together. They actually had a number together, and I was like, oh, great. These are two characters. And I didn't like the number. I said, what is this song?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, there were moments, and then there weren't. And I don't know. I was very disappointed.
Well,
I was
also, it's another show with forgettable music.
Yeah.
You know, Bad Cinderella, they're like, the title track that they kind of keep playing,
they just keep
over
playing
and over
it
again.
All over.
But it's the title of your show, so I can't even really say that's the memorable song. It's just the title of your show.
It was unfortunate because I was at times I was like, oh, I just want this to be better, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's really selling. I don't know. I just didn't really enjoy it, and I hate to say that, but you got to be honest. And
you got
to
be honest.
I'm being completely honest. I'm not trying to be rude.
And
you know?
I feel like I'm going to tie this in here because I feel like I have a final statement to kind of wrap up this Bad Cinderella. Unless you have something else.
No.
Okay. And this might be an unpopular opinion, but I find a lot of people are saying the same thing about this show. Well, we have to embrace it and enjoy it because it's a job for everyone. And I get that statement. But at the same time, if the work is not good, why do we have to applaud it?
Mm.
Okay, so that's like a question to everyone. And if this was not on the stage, would something else be there that all of those performers could be working on?
Yep.
Okay, so that's one thing. But I'm going to go as far as to say this. In the music industry, where people work just as hard as the Broadway space, and they put out an album, and they put out a music video, and they put out a single. How many times do people not listen to it, not enjoy it, give their own opinions on it? And guess what? If the album flops, it flops. And no one kind of does the same thing in the music industry that the Broadway community loves to do all the time. No, we have to support it. We have to support it. Well, I see albums and music all the time where people are like, oh, no, that was terrible. I'm not going to listen to it.
Mm.
You know,
but the money talks, and it will be shown in the grosses of this if this doesn't sell. I am noticing that the grosses of the last few weeks have been not great, yet it says 98% capacity seating. So clearly, are tickets being papered? Are they just trying to get people in the seats to talk about this? Because
yes,
they're not pulling in the money for a 98% house. So.
No, but my question to this, though, is why do we have to support it if it's not good?
Right. Well, because you're trying to support the industry and you're trying to support people working in the industry. And at the end of the day, that's what.
But I'm not saying I don't want those people to be working. They should be in something else.
Right.
Give another show.
Well, that's
give the opportunity. There's only, 41 Broadway houses?
Yeah.
Okay. There's plenty of shows that want to come into that space. And I don't think I should be running and telling everyone that I know to go see Bad Cinderella. But I will say, if you want to join into the bad hype of this and you don't want to feel left out, you should go see it. So no, you should go see Bad Cinderella if you want to see how bad I'm not bad quite.
There's so many other wonderful things playing right now to go spend your time and money on. I just couldn't get through this. I tried. I really did try. I was like, maybe it'll be good. And
yes, but I did see some people are like, wait, I think this is so bad I actually need to go see it now to see what all the hype is around it.
Yeah.
That's Bad Cinderella.
Oh, there we are. Oh my goodness. And another, a few other Broadway notes you have, right?
I think we've got there were some Broadway announcements that I wanted to kind of ask you and get your opinions on. Do you think it's interesting that they're moving the Wicked release date from December, Christmas 2024, to Thanksgiving 2024?
It's not interesting because things like that happen all the time. They move a week here or a week there.
But
it's
why
the
are they
same
making a big deal about it?
Because it's now you have a longer holiday season to see it, and because people are waiting, they know that we're waiting very, very long. By the way, it's not this Thanksgiving. No. It's 2024's Thanksgiving. So they're just building hype for it and keeping reminding people that it's coming. I don't
think we know it's coming. Yep. So it's Christmas.
So now we can go see.
Now Thanksgiving.
Yeah. We get to go a few weeks earlier to see Wicked. Great. And then we got to wait another year for this part too. So, I mean, we're going to be, how old are we going to be when this movie finally comes out? But yeah, interesting.
The real question is, will Wicked still be on Broadway when?
Of course.
We said that about Phantom.
Well, true, you never know.
Also, it was announced that Room with Adrian Warren, that's supposed to be coming this season, is getting postponed indefinitely. What are your thoughts on this?
My thoughts on that are, that is a situation where I really feel for the people working in this industry because they were mid-rehearsal. You show up to a rehearsal room and someone tells you we're done. And what's difficult about that is Adrian Warren and some of the team members just made a video and they said, we have no idea what's going on either. An investor pulled out and it's done and we or don't even know what exactly is going on. And to be invested in that and to think you're going to be making, and some people are making Broadway debuts. That's got to be so hard.
Which
I feel for
a show
all
that
of them.
I was excited for.
Yeah, because I don't know much about it, but I was really excited. I heard it was going to be amazing. So I do hope it'll come next season or it'll come, maybe it'll go out of town somewhere first or whatever. But it is very unfortunate to hear. So hopefully they find their footing in a few months.
Mm. Yeah. And another thing is they finally announced that the Stephen Sondheim musical, his final musical, Here We Are, is getting its off-Broadway staging in 2023.
He was Sondheim, right before his death, was very public about this. I think he went on Stephen Colbert a few months before he passed and talked about it. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I had a feeling that this was going to be in the wings. And whether his estate or his family or his friends are going to finish this up for him, he was working with someone. Yeah. So it wasn't like he was doing it alone. No. So I'm sure, I mean, and could you imagine what I was thinking about when I heard this is, could you imagine what the tickets are going to be for that?
Oh,
the last Sondheim show ever written that no one's heard? Oh my God. You better start saving up now. That's gonna, and it's off Broadway. Maybe it'll transfer to Broadway after it does an off Broadway run, but oh man, that is gonna be a hard ticket. Could you imagine?
So, do you know what someone said? They were like, can we calm down by doing everything Sondheim right now? Can we let his legacy continue to live on? Why are we doing all of the Sondheim stuff immediately after he
dies? That's because people miss him and they love his work.
Yeah.
And so I think some things will. Into the Woods had just wrapped up. Now we have Sweeney Todd. Merrily We Roll Along, though, is coming this fall. So we don't really get a much of, I mean, you know, there's always something. Sondheim worked on a lot.
Yeah.
He did a lot, so yeah, good stuff.
Good stuff in the Broadway space.
And we're wrapping up today with some bop or flops.
Bop or flop,
so let's dive into this and see what are these top pop picks that came out this weekend.
So for the pop music drop this week, we're going to get Richie's Bop or Flop.
Here we go.
Okay, starting with Taylor Swift. She released an unreleased song from Lover, and she also released three of her old Taylor version tracks, two from the Hunger Games soundtrack and one from something else. I forget what it is. But anyway, Taylor Swift, All of the Girls You Loved Before.
Bop, love it.
Love it.
Love it. Just have Lover. A good vibe with that. Yep, I love Lover.
If you listen to the song closely, this actually kind of feels like a song that either comes in leading into Lover, or it has the same melody. So
yep.
I really like that. She also kicked off her Eras tour on Friday night. And
yeah, we're going in May.
Can we just say something? She is playing for 3 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's going to be the longest pop concert you've ever been to.
Oh, yeah. But all the music's good. So
yeah, can't wait.
Yes.
Can't wait. Up next, we have Lana Del Rey with The Grants. This is actually the intro to her upcoming album, which we will be listening to next week. So be excited. What did you think?
I don't know how I feel about this. I'm just getting the same thing from Lana every time. It's very overproduced vocal. It's a very Enya-esque echo on it. And I just, it all sounds the same to me. So I don't really, I'm not obsessed with this. I like her. I really do. I like her old stuff, especially. It's the same slow BPM. It's the same echoed vocal. I don't know. Just not working for me.
Okay.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm being honest. Does anybody agree with me?
This song is great. It is such an album opener, and it is so theatrical. I just could see this staged so well. Anyway, moving on. up next, we have Joy Oladokun and Noah Kahan, where we're all going to die.
This I put bop. I liked this.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I liked this.
Yeah, what a relatable song.
Yeah, it was fun.
We're all going to die. What are we going to do?
Oh, my God.
Then we have Becca and Tears.
Oh, yeah, this was nice. Bop. I put this nice. Yep.
This one was nice because it has like the Bop Club feel.
Yeah.
It's very similar to like the Dua Lipa sound right now. And then we have Snake Ships and Takei Madoza. Show Me the Money.
Yes. Love this. I wrote yes next to it. Yes. I did really like this one.
Yeah, this was great. I actually discovered this on a playlist where she has another song, a cover of Where Is My Mind, which is just amazing. Everyone's going to need to check that out. And then last but not least, this is my favorite of the week, but it's Curtis Waters and Himbo.
This I also wrote bop yes, because I really like this one.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because I love calling myself a bimbo, but now I'm a himbo.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Oh, that's God. The popper drop this week, you know, five out of six?
Yeah, I got five out of six, yeah.
Five out of six.
I'm feeling Lana this week.
Not feeling Lana. We'll see about if he likes the album, if he changes.
Maybe like I did with L.A.H.A. Exactly. Full circle there, so.
There we go.
Oh my gosh, we really are out of time. We're going quick here. So thank you all so much for listening. We talked about a lot today. Thanks for chiming in and tuning in and listening to us. We got more coming, lots of Broadway coming, lots of pop coming. So every week, and our new release is Mondays now, everyone. So we have Monday release day every week. You can listen. Wake up on Monday, it'll be out. You can listen to it on your drives to work, your commutes to work, Monday morning on a recap of all weekend things. So It's wonderful. Thank you all so much for listening today. We hope you enjoyed. Please follow us at Half Hour Podcast on TikTok, Instagram, wherever you follow us, like, comment, subscribe, especially our Instagram. We're doing a lot with our Instagram lately and our Insta stories. So make sure you're following us there at Half Hour Podcast. More to come in the future weeks. Mm-hmm. So signing off for now, I'm Richie.
And I'm Jeff.
Saying ta-ta. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.